Well, greetings, friends. It's good to be with you once again on our Monday night. Excuse me, our Wednesday night Bible classes. And we just welcome you today for this particular class. And we're dealing in this series of classes on the feasts of the Lord as they were given to and celebrated in Israel. And we've taken that beyond the historical and prophetical significance of it. We're looking at these feasts as they are now fulfilled in Christ, have been fulfilled in Christ for 2,000 years. But what is it that was fulfilled in Christ? The scripture still are a valid testimony of Him. Who makes that valid? He does. Who makes the scriptures presently real? He does. Because He is presently real and is presently in His body, the church, is presently in you, the believer. He is the one who has gathered the scripture up into Himself. We use the term fulfilled in Him, and that's true, and that's a good term. He is the very substance of all that is set forth in the scripture. And that's what we're going to be looking at today, particularly, and we're dealing with the Feast of Tabernacles. And we've been looking at the Feast of Booths, and we have dealt with that in the last couple of sessions that we have had. We've been looking at another term that is applied to the Feast of Tabernacles. It is also called the Feast of the Open Book. Well, that most certainly is fulfilled in Christ. And it's fulfilled in Him who takes it far beyond any type and shadow, even the type and shadow and the testimony given in this entire Feast of Tabernacles. Christ takes the fulfillment far beyond it, because it is replaced, as it were, in the reality of Himself. Well, we've said all of that before. The Feast of Tabernacles and the Open Book. I want to read some of that to you, of the historical significance of it, and then bring it right over into what I want to talk with you about for a while today. And I'm using, as I have from time to time, a workbook, a study manual, concerning the feasts of the Lord in Israel. These are written very much. We have this one in our library. It's written in view of the historical significances of it, because much of it here the author does not present as being fulfilled in Christ, though it most certainly is. Or it would have no historical value. It would have no historical value at all either, except it be fulfilled in Christ, not in time to come, except it now be fulfilled in Christ. We can say that the Feast of Passover would have no historical significance except Christ fulfilled it in His death, burial, and resurrection. And he does that but he fulfills it in himself. He doesn't just fulfill it in something that he did. And we dealt with that when we were looking at Passover. He fulfills it in who he now is dwelling in you. He brings into you the very reality and significance of the cross. He brings in you the very reality and significance of his death, burial, and resurrection. You can't just look at that as past events. You have to understand Passover from the standpoint it's who Christ is in you right now. Same thing with Pentecost and the same thing with Tabernacles. The open book. The Lord told Moses to write the second law. Now I'm reading that. And this has been searched out and is historically true. To write the second law, as it were, in a book and deliver it to the Levites and the priests of the Lord. Now they were to take this book of the law, or the book of the covenant, and place it in the side of the Ark of the Covenant. And it was to be a witness to them and a warning against Israel's rebellion. This book of the law was especially the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible as written by Moses. And it contained the revelation of the beginnings of the human race and it all went all the way back to Genesis. It contained the account of Israel's miraculous deliverance from Egypt and on and on and on. Now, the significant thing about the book of the law was this: at the end of every 7 years, in the solemnity of the year of release, in the Feast of Tabernacles, all right, the Levites were to take the book of the covenant out of the ark and read it to the people. This was to take place in the land of Israel, in the appointed place where the Lord chose to put his name. So it was at the tabernacle, or it was at the temple. So how the book was placed in the side of the ark is not specifically stated, but the significant thing is that the book of the law was to be opened and read and explained to the people in the Feast of Tabernacles. Now let me skip on into this historical account, because then our author here goes on to say, thus we may say that as the church experiences the Feast of Tabernacles. Now, what I was reading to you first was what happened long time ago. I mean, in the Old Testament, under the Old Covenant, they did this on a regular basis, celebrating the Feast of Tabernacles. That was part of it. You'll see the same thing. You'll see the same thing in Ezra and Nehemiah near the ending of the completing of the rebuilt tabernacle and so forth. But it's all still that far along. And Christ has come. And Christ is in you. And you are the body of Jesus Christ, in whom all of these things are fulfilled, and our whole salvation is just a religion having no life at all. Just a religion yet looking forward to something that is supposed to come one day, rather than coming to understand our salvation, the whole of it, the all of it, the prophecy of it, the promise of it, the types and shadows given concerning it are all fulfilled in Christ now, and that very living Son of God, our salvation, the salvation of the Lord Himself, lives in you right now. But I'll read what is said here. Thus we may say that as the church experiences the Feast of Tabernacles, increased light and understanding will be her portion. Well, hon, I'm going to read to you in just a minute. Paul already said that's come. Now, you can't look at the church system or religious system to see that reality. Paul saw that reality in Christ, and he preached that reality to the church of his day, 2,000 years ago. And it's the same church. I know we've got a religious system and all of that, but hon, Christ still has his church. Christ still has his body. In heaven, yes. On earth, yes. The reality of Christ continues. Well, but we may say, that as the church experiences Feast of Tabernacles, increased light, understanding will be her portion. Thank God for the truths of Passover and Pentecost, but in the Feast of Tabernacles, full and complete and full truth will break forth on the church. Well, the Feast of Tabernacles is the Feast of the Open Book. It goes on to say it is the responsibility of the ministry to teach the Word of God to the people of God. And although there is that general teaching of the Word of God, it is evident that the Feast of Tabernacles will bring a special emphasis, illuminating an illumination in the open book. Well, let's look at the one who is the open book. Let's look at him. The one in whom all things have come to their fulfillment and their completement. So let's look there. Let's look there. And in doing that, I want to read. I may have read this to you last week. I don't know. It's Christ right after his resurrection. And you know that he, between there and his coming again, as he had promised to do, there's a space of about 40 days. Luke 24, verse 24, and certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre. These are two of the disciples now that the Lord Jesus found walking on the road, and he joined himself to them. And they were very downcast, and he asked what was the matter. And they are telling him that story. And now they've come down in that story of this man Jesus having been crucified and killed and all of that. And you can read it there in Luke 24. They're relating to him how that some people, some of his loved ones, some of his disciples, some that he had known and that had known him, went to the sepulchre and found it, even as the women who had been there first had said, but him they saw not. And he was walking along with them listening to this, and they were telling him this. And he said to them, O fools, slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter in to his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. All these feasts had to be included there. And as they drew nigh unto the village, whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further, but they constrained him, saying, "Abide with us, for it's toward evening, and the day is far spent." And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it, and brake and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, "Did not our heart burn within us while he talked to us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures?" And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were also with them. And then in verse 44, Jesus appears there. And he said to them, "These are the words which I spake to you while I was with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me." Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the scripture. And he said to them, "Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high." And that's all that I'm going to read there. He opened their understanding to the scripture. Now, he had already told the Jews while he was with them at the synagogue during his time of ministry. And we're going to read something in a moment. I'm going to go back to that. I've spent most of my time on what I'm going to go back to in a second. But it was a time when he said, "Search the scripture." And it really is written, him saying, "I know that you search the scripture. I know that you do. For in them you think that you have eternal life. And they are they which testify of me. But you will not come to me that you might have life." Now, hon, we have just read how that the first day of his resurrection, he opened the eyes of men that had walked with him for years and didn't know him in the way that they understood just now. when he opened the eyes of their understanding. And a greater revelation of himself was yet to come, and he spoke to them of that. He spoke to them of that. Greater comprehension of him. And it was the comprehension that you will know that I am in my Father, and you are in and you are in me, and I am in you. That greater comprehension will come. Sweetheart, I just read to you a while ago where it was said that a special emphasis and illumination in the open book was yet to come. He just opened it. I just read to you where he just opened it. He opened it to those that were his, those that had been with him. He opened it. And he spoke to them of a greater opening that would come with his indwelling, with the coming of the Spirit of truth, with the coming of the Spirit of Christ. I will come. I will dwell in you, and you will know. And that's what I meant a while ago when I said he more than fulfills the types and shadows. He goes beyond them. He more than fulfills promises uttered by man, given of God. He goes beyond just fulfilling them. He goes beyond fulfilling what things are promised concerning your salvation. He fulfills and becomes the essence of the great mystery that was hidden even in the testimonies. It's what I'm trying to tell you. He doesn't just fulfill the testimonies and the historical testimonies and all of that. Much of what we've been talking about. He doesn't do something to fulfill them and say, now there it is, it's done. Look at it. He himself is the fulfillment. He himself is the essence. He is the mystery that God hath revealed. And he lives in you. Now, I'm just going to look at a couple of places on that. And I want to look first. Well, let's look in Colossians. First of all, let me read in Hebrews. I had that written down to just start the whole thing with. Hebrews 1, you've been here, chapter 1. God, who at sundry times in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. All right, here. It's all gathered up. This whole testimony is gathered up. Right here, gathered up in the book of Hebrews. It's gathered up right here. Unto the fathers by the prophets hath In the end of those days, is the way it should be read. Spoken in Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. Who, the same Son, being the brightness of glory, and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power. When he hath by himself purged our sins, set down on the right hand of majesty on high. And it just keeps on going throughout the book of Hebrews. But it starts with this one thing. Have spoken in Son. Hath spoken in Son. Now, let's look. Let's go back to Colossians 1. Colossians 1. I'm turning to that here, all right. Verse 24. Now, what did I say a while ago? That some, unfortunately, are still waiting for a special emphasis and illumination in the opened book. And this writer is looking at that being the Bible open. We're understanding the scriptures. Well, all right, fine. But what I want to talk to you about in this lesson and in the next one is the book himself. The book himself. Not only the one that dictated every word that's in it, not only the one who is the living word of every written word in it, but the one who is the very substance of it. The word of the new covenant. That is not now, never has been, written on parchment, but rather written in our heart. The one that comes with new spirit, new life, new understanding, all given of God by His Spirit, the one of which Paul writes. That very Spirit that searches yea the deep things of God and reveals them. The things that eye hath not seen, cannot see, has never seen, nor shall ever see, but is revealed of God in Christ Jesus. So we're looking here at Colossians, and it's this same Paul who is saying, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church, whereof I am made a minister. A minister. We're looking over here that as I just read a while ago, that there needed to be ministry. Yeah, here it is. It is the responsibility of the ministry to teach the word of God to the people of God. And it goes on and on and on there. And it is evident that the Feast of Tabernacles will bring a special emphasis. Well, let's read this. Let's read this. Even the mystery. Well, verse 25. whereof I am made a minister according to the administration of God. Now, the administration of God, hang on, is spoken of by this same man, Paul, right here in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 10, where he says that in the administration of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven, which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. And in verse 9, I read verse 10, verse 9 of Ephesians 1, having made known unto us. Having made known unto us. The mystery, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, having made known. Now, back to what we're taught, but the administration. Now he says, according to the administration of God, which is given to me for you, to fulfill the word of God. That is to preach the word of God fulfilled. To show you the fulfillment. To show you the word of God fully. When? That was close to 2,000 years ago. That something started and were presented by Paul what many people are still waiting upon and have literally taken any expectation out of the body of Christ concerning being able to know him in that way right now. And in fact, that we are purposed of God to know him as only the Spirit of God can reveal him. So I say again, when I said it goes beyond the types and the shadows and the... Our salvation deals with the mystery that was hidden there. So let's go on with this. To show you fully, to fully preach the word of God, even the mystery which hath been hidden from ages. Not shall continue to be, which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the expectation of glory, whom we preach, this very Christ, this very one, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man standing in a perfect salvation, standing in the one who is perfect salvation, that we may present every man as having Christ living in them. Now that's a number of ways to say it, but all of that is pointing to Christ himself. Every man perfect in Christ Jesus, whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh mightily in me. Hun, I don't know in the body of Christ how many believers have come to see Christ in that way. I don't know in the days of Paul how many in those churches came to see him in that way. I'm supposing many did because of the tone of some of his epistles are not, it don't just start out in absolute, you know, correction to carnal Christians, but really, really start out by being able to talk about all things heaven, all things fulfilled in Christ. And I don't know in our church world today how many have seen him. I know some have and some are now doing so. But I know he has come because he's come in me. The same Christ that lived in Paul lives in me. The same Christ that lived in Paul lives in you and in Peter and in James and in John and on and the believers who received him. I know that same Christ, that same Spirit of Christ. And I know that over the years, I have seen believers and am seeing believers now who are knowing him, not in an expectation of a future event or an expectation of a future fulfillment, but are knowing him in a very present and an ongoing, lively expectation of knowing him. Knowing him. For as our life is Christ, so our knowing is Christ and is eternal. Eternal. Everything fulfilled of Christ becomes eternal. Our salvation is eternal, and our knowing the Lord, because our knowing the Lord is by the eternal Spirit. Blessed be the Lamb of the living God. Now, I ought to have a few minutes here. I want to read something to you concerning the open book. We'll come back to this because we're going to be talking about the book, which is Christ, being opened in you. Well, here in Luke 4, Luke chapter 4, and I'm reading this from something that I had written, and I looked today for it for too long of a time, but I finally found it. In Luke 4, around verse 16, it has, this speaks of Christ. He came to Nazareth, and I'm reading now. He came to Nazareth where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered to him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind. Now, think about this. He's reading out of a prophet that's dead long ago, even at the time he's reading this, which was a couple of thousand years ago, reading it in a synagogue to the Jews. Just get that in mind here. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book. Remember that. And he closed the book. And he gave it again to the minister and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. And when he sat down, he sat, and now I'm not reading the scriptures now, but when he sat down, it is said that he sat in the seat that had been set aside for the Messiah. But the phrase that actually has caught my attention in the verse itself, and what the Lord began to deal with me about, was that in this gospel, during this time prior to the cross, and leading up to and being fulfilled in the cross during this time, he closed the book. And there was something final. And I remember back then when I read that, there was something final about that. And it is so, even in the actual translation of the word, it has the finality to it. There is something final. And he closed the book. And the Jewish tradition confirms this, that it speaks of a finality. That it is not specifically written here, but it is so. He took his seat, the Messiah's. There is a finality about this act. And he's not telling them to stop searching their prophets. But he is bringing everything their prophets said to an absolute end in himself. And he's saying here, there is nothing more to be said on these matters. Here I am. And I've already read it. Hebrews 1 and 2. God hath spoken in Son. And he closed the book. He closed the book on Judaism. He closed the book of Old Covenant Israel. He closed the book on prophecy. He closed the book on promises. He closed the book and presented himself the fulfillment of it. And I remember at the time how that thrilled my very soul. So, I want us to come in our next session from the closed book to the open book. No, that doesn't mean you're going to quit reading the scripture no more than he was telling them to. But we see him not in the light of a prophetic figure who is yet to come, but we see him in the light of the glorified Son of God who is come and who now dwells in his body, the church. Blessed be the Lamb of God. That's what we want to do, and that's where we'll pick up in that vein of thought in our next lesson on the feast of the Lord. Amen. Thank you so much for being with us in these classes that we're able to present and able to get them out to you in this particular medium. And so we appreciate you being with us. And if we can help you in any way, please let us know. I also appreciate, as all of us do, you who help us to not just maintain a status quo, but you who help us to continually, day by day, week by week, continually, and on an ever-broadening scale, continually reach out throughout the body of the Lord Jesus Christ and around the world. Well, it is true, because you're certainly one of those to whom we are reaching. And many of you are some of those who are helping us reach beyond. And I have to tell you how much I appreciate that. May the Lord bless you for your thoughtful and generous support. All we can do is say thank you for it, and then do with it what we are now doing. So the Lord bless. And if there's any way that we can help you, you're welcome to write us, you're welcome to email us, you're welcome to call us any way. Please, please let us know. Amen. The Lord bless.